There's a very specific script we all know when we talk about startup
Oh,
accelerators.
yeah. The fleece vest script.
The fleece vest script, exactly. You have a great idea, you pitch your heart out, and if you're lucky, you get a check.
And in exchange, you give up a chunk of your company, a permanent chunk.
Right. It's the standard cash for equity swap. It's just, the water we all swim in.
You're selling a piece of the house to pay for the renovation.
Precisely. But today we're looking at a stack of curriculum transcripts that completely flips that script.
It really does.
We're doing a deep dive into a model where the prize isn't a check and the entry fee isn't your equity.
The prize is a team.
A literal SWAT team of professional software developers ready to build your product.
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept. We're looking at all this material from CodeLaunch, specifically from its founder, Jason W. Taylor. And the thing that jumped out at me right away is that this isn't just a contest.
Right.
He frames it as a philosophy. He calls it conscious capitalism.
That phrase, conscious capitalism, it sounds a bit lofty, I'll admit. But as we unpack this, you'll see it's incredibly pragmatic.
It is.
So our mission today is to guide you, whether you're a founder or just obsessed with how business gets done, through what is essentially a 6-week survival course.
A gauntlet.
Yes, a gauntlet. Because while they don't take your money, this process is definitely expensive in other ways.
And, even if you never apply to this specific competition, the tactical lessons we found, I mean, about how to pitch, how to manage risk in a demo, these are things every professional needs to know.
Okay, so let's start with the hook, the value proposition. Because, if someone offers you a professional dev team for free, you're immediately looking for the catch.
You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You assume they want IT rights or warrants or something.
Okay.
But according to the source material, that's not the play here. CodeLaunch has been running since 2013, produced by a company called Improving and other partners. These are, consultancies.
Their whole business is selling high-end coding time.
Right. So in this competition, they're effectively donating that inventory, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of billable hours, just given to accelerate a startup.
And it gets results. The documents mention they had their first official exit in 2024. So checks are getting written eventually.
Just not by the accelerator itself.
Right. So let's get to the cost, because you and I both know free is a very complicated word.
It is, and Taylor is very explicit about this. He says the cost of entry is sweat, hustle, and travel. And that last part, travel, that's the first major filter.
This was a really interesting detail. There's no fee to enter, right? You don't pay to submit the PDF.
No cash.
Yeah.
But if you make the finals, you are completely on your own for logistics.
So if the event is in Dallas and you're in, say, London, getting there is your problem. The flight, the hotel.
All of it comes right out of your pocket.
And I loved his observation here. It's not callous, it's diagnostic. He basically says, look, if you're a founder and you can't hustle together the funds for a hotel room,
If you can't borrow the miles or find a couch to sleep on,
yeah, then you probably aren't cut out to run a startup. It's a barrier to commitment.
it weeds out the hobbyists instantly. If you aren't willing to bet the price of a plane ticket on your own vision, why should a professional dev team bet their entire weekend on it?
That's a great way to put it. It's a resourcefulness test. Okay, so let's say you've got the hustle. You're ready to buy that ticket. You sit down to apply.
And you'd expect, what, a 40-page business plan?
Something insane, but the barrier here is shockingly low.
Deceptively simple. It takes maybe 30 minutes. You need a pitch deck, PDF format, any length, and you need mock-ups or wireframes.
Okay, let's pause on that because the curriculum makes a distinction between wireframes and mock-ups that I think is really important.
It's a huge difference. Wireframes are the blueprint, right? Black and white lines, the button goes here.
But mock-ups are the high fidelity version, the colors, the branding, what the app will actually look like.
Exactly. And Taylor notes that while they accept embryonic ideas, napkin sketches,
Yeah.
having those high fidelity mock-ups really, really increases your odds.
Because it proves you're thinking about the user experience, not just the business idea.
It shows you visualize the product.
Yeah.
But there's a logistical trap here, too. You have to pick the right event.
Oh, right. They have different ones for the US, Canada, Mexico.
So step one is just checking the calendar.
Yeah.
Don't apply to the Guadalajara event if you can't get there.
Makes sense. So you submit the PDF, you hit send, you think, okay, now I wait.
But you don't wait because 4 days later, the real test begins.
Phase two, the video challenge. This is where the herd gets thinned out.
Big time.
And this part fascinated me because it's so prescriptive. It's not show us your passion, it's follow these instructions or you are out.
It's a compliance test masquerading as a creative test. You get a 4-day window, and you have to submit a video that is between 60 and 90 seconds.
Not 59.
Not 91. And the script is completely rigid.
Okay, break down that formula for us, because honestly, it's a solid structure for any elevator pitch.
It's a 3-act structure. First 30 seconds. The hook. Who are you? What's the burning problem? How do you disrupt the market?
Okay, standard pitch stuff.
Then the next 30 seconds is context. You actually have to explain what Code Launch is. When is it? Where is it?
So you're educating your viewer about the competition itself.
Exactly. And the final 20 to 30 seconds is the ask. You have to explicitly tell the viewer to click the link and subscribe to the Code Launch email list.
Which is brilliant. I mean, it's just brilliant marketing on their part.
It's a classic growth hack. They're using the applicants to drive their own subscriber growth. It's a win-win.
But from their side, it tests something else. Can you follow directions?
And can you rally a community? If you can't get your friends to click a link, how are you going to get customers to buy your product?
Okay, now for the non-filmmakers listening, the source material says you don't need a cinema camera.
No, but there is one technical thing that is completely non-negotiable.
Let me guess. Audio.
Audio. Taylor is adamant. He says audio is 90% of video quality.
It feels counterintuitive, but it is so true.
A grainy picture. People forgive.
Mm.
But if there's wind noise or that terrible bathroom echo, people are gone. Instantly. It just screams amateur.
He even says he uses a wonky wired headset sometimes just to get clear sound. He'd rather look a little goofy and be heard perfectly.
It's a pro tip for anyone, really. On the Zoom call, whatever, use a mic. Don't shout at your phone from across the room.
Now, there was one specific workaround in the rules I thought was genius, the stealth mode workaround.
Oh, this is such a common problem. You have a founder, she's working a corporate job, building this thing on the side.
Right, and she can't just put her face on YouTube saying, hey, here's the company I'm building, instead of doing my actual job.
She'd get fired. So normally those people just can't apply. But Code Launch has a hack for it.
The proxy.
You use a proxy, you find a trusted friend, you write the script, but they stand in front of the camera.
And they say what?
They say, I have a friend who's building this incredible platform. They're in stealth mode, so I'm here to tell you why they need to win.
That is so clever. It protects your identity, and it still checks the marketing box.
And it provides social proof. Mm. It shows your idea is so good, you convince someone else to vouch for it publicly. It turns a constraint into an asset.
Okay, so you survive the video. You have clear audio. You've rallied your network. Now we enter what I'm calling the gauntlet.
It's a sprint. Looking at the timeline in these documents, it's incredibly fast.
How fast?
From the moment applications close to the final event on stage, it is exactly 6.5 weeks.
That is intense.
Yeah. So if you pass the video around, you get homework. 7 to 10 days to document progress, show you're not stagnant. Then the semifinals. They whittle it down to about, say, 24 to 27 startups.
And this is where the process gets really unique, the draft.
This is the big differentiator. In a typical accelerator, a committee of investors picks the winners.
We think this business has good margins. You're in.
Exactly. That is not how it works here. In Code Launch, the builders pick the winners.
It's like a sports draft.
It is. You have these professional dev teams, people who bill out at hundreds of dollars an hour.
Mm.
They look at the semifinalists and they decide who they want to work with.
That completely shifts the power dynamic.
It does. It forces the founder to sell the product vision, not the financial upside. A developer wants to work on something technically interesting, or that solves a problem they care about. They're asking, do I want to spend my weekend building this?
So you could have a solid business plan, but if your product is, I don't know, boring, you might get passed over.
Absolutely. The pool of draft-eligible startups is bigger than the number of dev teams. So you could do everything right and still get left on the bench because no team picked you.
That is a harsh reality check. Okay, but let's say you get drafted, you're a finalist, you book the flight. Now, before the stage lights, you have to survive the hackathon.
This is the engine room of the whole thing. It happens the Sunday and Monday right before the main event.
And the schedule looks brutal.
It is. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 2 back-to-back 12-hour shifts.
24 hours of coding in 2 days.
And going back to that conscious capitalism theme, it's a shared sacrifice. The developers are giving up their Sunday. Their personal time.
And their employer is giving up Monday, a billable day.
So everyone has skin in the game. The devs, the company, and obviously the founder, whose role here is critical and often misunderstood. Taylor calls the dev teams professional noobs.
Professional noobs. I love that term.
It's perfect. These are expert toters, but they are noobs about your specific startup. They've never seen your code. They don't know your business logic.
So if you, as the founder, just drop off the specs and go grab a coffee,
they will build the wrong thing very efficiently. The founder has to be the product owner, sitting there for 24 hours, answering questions every 5 minutes.
Does this button need to be green?
Exactly. Do we need this login screen, or can we hard code it to save time? If you aren't there to make those split second calls, the whole team just stalls.
It's a leadership stress test. And that leads us to maybe the most tactical piece of advice in this entire curriculum.
The silent demo.
Yes, of all the things we read, this was the one I highlighted. I think every person in business should adopt this.
It's the ultimate risk management strategy for live presentations.
Okay, so paint the picture. You just finished the hackathon. Your prototype is held together with digital duct tape. The instinct is to plug in your laptop and do a live demo.
Which is a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
We have all seen it. The Wi-Fi drops, the server crashes, the spinning wheel of death.
The founder is sweating, saying, it worked backstage. It just kills all momentum.
Code launch forbids it. You're literally not allowed to do a live demo.
So what do you do?
Between the hackathon and the show, you must record a 30-second video of your software working. But, and here's the key, it has to be silent.
Silent? Why silent?
Because you're going to talk over it live on stage. You stand there, you hit play on the video file, and you narrate the user journey. Here's the user logging in. Here's our AI analyzing the data.
While the video plays perfectly behind you, it's theater.
It's controlled theater. It eliminates all the variables. And Taylor even suggests you can speed the video up slightly, make the typing look impossibly fast. It keeps the energy high.
It makes you look like a magician, and it guarantees you finish on time.
And there's one little piece of mandatory etiquette. At the end of the pitch, you have to thank your hackathon team by their brand name.
It reminds everyone this wasn't a solo effort.
Right. Humility is part of the pitch.
Okay, we've survived the gauntlet. We've recorded our silent demo. We are at phase 5, the main event. And this doesn't sound like a stuffy boardroom pitch. It sounds more like a rock concert.
That's the vibe. Raucous. There's a rehearsal day, and they bring in high production value.
How high?
Well, he makes the point of mentioning the clicker. You're not using some cheap Logitech clicker. You're using a professional $650 queuing system.
Wow. That detail says everything. We're taking this seriously, so you better take this seriously.
Well, exactly. But that party atmosphere creates a problem. You can't negotiate a seed round while the DJ is blasting.
So how do they handle the money talk?
They separate it. There's an investor reception before the show. It's ticketed. It's quiet. That's where the real deep dives happen.
Yeah.
The main event is for the show. The reception is for the business.
And after all that adrenaline, there's the finalist dinner.
Which Code Launch pays for. The goal is to bond the cohort, to create that class of 2026 feeling that lasts for years.
And finally, the after party.
Where, as the text puts it, high fives are exchanged, the release valve after 6 weeks of pressure.
So let's zoom out. We've gone from a simple PDF to this high-octane stage production. We've talked about the video formula, the silent demo. But I want to go back to that core question.
The cost.
Yeah, because this model, it is demanding. It requires travel, stress, sleepless nights. And the question I kept asking is this actually harder than the traditional route?
That is the provocative question, isn't it? In the traditional route, you give up equity. Maybe 5, 10%, you lose a piece of your company forever, but you get cash and maybe a slightly smoother ride.
Here, you keep 100% of your equity.
But you pay with sweat equity. Intense, concentrated sweat equity.
And in the current market, maybe that's the whole point.
I think it is. Capital is expensive right now. VC funding has tightened up. This model suggests that the most valuable currency a founder has is not their stock, it's their hustle.
And their ability to execute.
Right. If you can survive a 6-week gauntlet, manage a dev team you've never met, and pitch perfectly on stage, you have proven something a pitch deck alone can never prove.
You've proven you can operate.
It de-risks the founder for everyone watching. You're not just an idea person anymore. You're a survivor. You've graduated from entrepreneur to entrepreneur.
So whether you're ready to apply for the next cohort or you're just going to steal that silent demo idea for your next quarterly review.
Please steal that idea. Everyone needs to steal that idea.
There is a lot to take away here. The barrier to entry might be low, but the barrier to commitment is incredibly high. And maybe that's exactly how it should be.
Keep building.
See you on the next deep dive.